I want to give an introduction to what we're going to be doing today, and then I'm going to ask Frank Trotta to come and give us a picture of what Saturday is going to look like. A couple of years ago, I was selected to be on a federal jury. It was actually a murder trial, and as a conservative Baptist, Southern Baptist, Christian pastor, I never thought I would be selected on a jury, but it was so strange. I sat in a courtroom with over 100 potential jurors, and as the day went on, the questions were asked, and the people were being eliminated, and right before my eyes, the pool of people was getting shallower and shallower, and I had the thought, you know, I might actually get selected for this thing. And then as the process carried on, I thought, I think they're going to pick me. And then it happened. The names were called, and my name was among them. Never thought it would happen, but it did. Similarly, as more conservative judges were being appointed to the Supreme Court of the United States, we began to wonder, could there be an overturning of Roe versus Wade? I doubt it, I thought. But like my jury selection, things began to happen in other states, and that actually made it seem possible of what was impossible to actually become a reality. And the appeals process took cases to the Supreme Court that made us wake up and take note. And we said, hey, if this makes it to the court, it actually is possible for Roe to be overturned? So it was rather shocking on May 2nd of this year, the leaked opinion came as we got a ray of hope that this horrible decision from 1973, which had become entrenched into our American law and in our assumptions, really, in general as a society, might indeed be overturned. And through unusual and really countercultural means, God surprised us. If you were like me, what was always hoped for, even prayed for, began to emerge. And then like a burst of sunlight through a dark cloud, it was announced on Friday, June 24th, Roe was overturned. And we preached on that weekend. And we rejoiced together. And as a church that loves life, we rejoiced, and rightly so. But on the next day, Saturday, June 25th, at the Astra Women's Center in Plantation, just 5.9 miles from our church, the very next day, babies in their mothers' wombs were killed by an abortionist. And since their overturning of Roe v. Wade, more than 2,500 babies have been aborted, killed in Broward County alone. So obviously our job is not done. A few weeks ago, I stood with my daughter across the street from this clinic, and we prayed. We prayed for the women going inside. We prayed for the Love Life Sidewalk counselor, as he so graciously and wisely called out to those who were getting out of their cars and going in. We prayed for the closing of this clinic. We prayed for our church and all the churches that have had the courage to come and stand and be a beacon of hope for those going to do something that would alter their life forever. We prayed for the couple who stopped to talk to the counselor and who we later found out never entered the clinic. And for all we know, their baby remained safe. Today, we are calling on you, the church, to take a new step toward being a help to end abortion in this county. Many Christians are glad to receive a sermon from their pastor about the sanctity of life. They are even glad to give their money to the local pregnancy center, which we do. That helps women and men choose life for their unborn children. But many Christians, and maybe you felt this way, I want to do more. I want to be a part of doing more. I feel the need to do more. And today, We're giving you that opportunity to take your involvement to a new level. We're joining hundreds of other churches around our country in taking our prayers from our closets to the clinics. And here is where our presence and our prayers have the most effect, because when women who are distraught, confused, fearful, see the crowd of loving faces and gentle voices of a person offering help and hope, many times they change their minds and choose life, and some of them find Jesus in the process. It's a way for us to be involved, not in another place, but right here. And many of you have wondered, what else can I do? By the time we're done today, you'll know exactly what you can do. And I unapologetically, along with the elders, call you to this action to stand with us. And as God said to the prophet Ezekiel, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. And our prayer is that in the case of standing for the unborn and the life that God cherishes, that God would not find no one, but he would find many more than one. And that's our opportunity. And our prayer is that in this case, we will take that stand. So this coming Saturday, we're going to go on a walk. We're going to go on a short walk, not a long walk, a prayer walk. And before I ask the representative from Love Life to come up and share that with us, I want to take you to the Word of God as we prepare for Saturday. And I realize that whenever we start talking about this whole issue, the sanctity of human life, the life of the unborn, abortion, things like that, we have people in the room who are watching who have been through an abortion, and this can all be very painful. And we would never wish to unnecessarily open those wounds. But I want to remind you that you, if you have been touched by the sin of abortion and you have turned to Jesus, like all sin, that sin is forgiven in Jesus Christ. You've repented. You've changed your mind about what happened. And now God brings something wonderful to you. It's called refreshment. Acts 3:19 says it this way, therefore repent and return so that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So everything I will say and what we are doing on Saturday can be part of the refreshment that you can experience through Christ. So be encouraged today, dear sister. Be encouraged, dear brother, if this involves you. I want to start off and demonstrate from God's word this morning that God is about life. God is about life. And we'll start with probably the most important statement, as far as I'm concerned, about the sanctity of life. Jesus is teaching about the way to the kingdom of God, the entrance to eternal life. He's making huge statements about how there is only one door, and he is that door. What the disciples could not fathom at that moment was the fact that Jesus was going to lay down his life in a voluntary, sacrificial manner and be the sacrificial lamb for the sin of the world. He was going to bear the sin of the world. And as a result, true life, eternal life, was going to be now available for those who would plug their spiritual umbilical cord, so to speak, into this source of life. John 10 says, starting in verse 7. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. What an appropriate text and word when we start thinking about the life of the unborn and abortion and saving children and all of that. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And somebody might say, well, Pastor, isn't that talking about spiritual life, not physical life? Well, hold on. This is true. He is certainly talking about spiritual life. But remember, God made the body. He thought it up. And he created it, and he created a way for it to perpetuate. He created the body. And in the end, the body will be resurrected. to eternal life. This physical body, our bodies, will be resurrected to eternal life. And so I think we greatly underestimate the importance of the body. God is not doing away with the body. The glory of the Christian is that your body will be raised to a new life, a new body, an eternal body like the one Jesus had, that was still recognizable as Jesus. And my point is, life cannot be simplistically separated into physical and spiritual, or physical and eternal. God has married the two elements of life into one through our existence, which is inextricably tied to our bodies. So yes, he's talking about a kind of life that goes beyond mere human earthly existence, but the whole concept of life is God's idea. It's God's idea, life. Whether you're talking physical, spiritual, eternal, it's all related to the whole reality of life. Can we say that word together? Life. 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 You need life to even contemplate life. It's deep. It's mysterious. And we can love life. I love the name of this ministry. Love life. We can do that. If you start letting yourself contemplate the whole concept of the reality of life, it will blow your mind if you allow it. Maybe you've had an experience like this one, and I've shared this many times. Many of you have heard it. Many of you haven't. But when I was in college, I came home for a break, and my family and I were all gathered in the living room in the house that I grew up in, and we were just sitting there and telling stories, sharing about our lives, me at Georgia Tech, my sister at Samford University. We were back home together. And it was just a great time of reunion. And I began to become very strangely even aware of the wonderfulness of being alive and being intimately connected to the other people in this room, other people that I loved. And in a moment, in a lull in the conversation, I was just overwhelmed. And I said to the family, "This is an awesome moment. I mean, I'm really feeling the reality of each of our persons here. I mean, think about it. I have thoughts and you have thoughts and we can communicate. And we, through those thoughts turned into language, transmitted across the air, our thoughts enter each other's minds and we're aware of each other." And my sister said, "Stop it, you're freaking me out." Why do we have moments like that? Because of life. Where do we get it? We got it from God. What is God ultimately leading us toward? Not just life, but abundant life. So can I just plant that simple thought in your hearts and minds today? Jesus came to bring life. Life in all of its forms is important to God because he created it. So we've looked at the reality of the fact that God is about life, but what about the unborn life? That's what we're about today. What about that life in the womb? Is there any indication in the Bible that the fetus that's in the womb is actually considered a human being and a human being worth protecting? Well, let's see a few places where the Bible speaks very clearly about this. Let's see what the Bible says. And if this is new to you, or maybe you're depending on where you're at in the whole issue of life and rights and all of that, I just want you to listen carefully to what the Bible says about this, and that'll hopefully help you. And for those of you who are already convinced the life in the womb is a human life, it's worthy of protection, you're only going to be bolstered and encouraged by this. But I think one of my favorite psalms speaks powerfully to this in Psalm 139, where it says this, in verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb." The word "me" there is a reference to a person that's already in the womb. "I will give thanks to you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. A person in the womb. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Of the prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, the Lord says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you." In other words, I was set apart. The Lord set apart the prophet in his womb, in his mother's womb. "I've appointed you as a prophet to the nations." He was appointed as a prophet to the nations before he was even born. Luke chapter 1, verses 41 through 44. This is the story of when Elizabeth greeted Mary, the mother of our Lord, Elizabeth being the mother of John the Baptist. They met with each other before either one of the children were born. And here's what it says. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me?" So she recognized that Mary was the mother of her Lord, who was not yet born yet, but was still her Lord. "For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby," in Greek, the brephos, "leaped in my womb for joy." Now we can stop right there and say, well, obviously, they thought it was a baby. They thought it was a human life. It was responding. But if we go to Luke chapter 2, we find the announcement to Mary, to the shepherds, about what they were going to find when they went to the manger. It says in Luke 2, verse 12, it says it again in verse 16, but verse 12 says, "You will find a baby lying in a manger." Now, the word for baby there is the same word that was used in Luke chapter 1, brephos. So, the same word is used of a child inside the womb and outside the womb. It's a baby. It's a human life. It's not just the product of conception. It is not just a fetus. The scripture considers and assumes that those in the that are in the womb are humans. They are babies. And the Bible is clear that God knows the personalities even of the unborn. In the story of Isaac and Rebekah and their twin sons, Jacob and Esau, we find in the book of Genesis. Do I have that one up there? Yep, Genesis 25, verse 23. "The Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples will be separated from your body.'" Two nations are already in your womb. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, moving to the New Testament. "But when God, who had set me apart," Paul talking about himself, "he set me apart even from my mother's womb." Same kind of language that's in the Old Testament. "Even from my mother's womb, he called me through his grace and was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles." So the biblical examples are many. The wife of Zorah, in the book of Judges, God revealed to her that she would have a son, but he was to be special, a Nazarite. A Nazarite. Nazarites, the kind of like the spiritual special forces. She told her husband about it, and she relayed the vision that she had had. In Judges chapter 13, it says, "But he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and now you shall not drink wine or drink strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, to the day of his death.'" Notice the angel used specific language, that she was not to eat, drink certain things because it would pollute the human in her. He was a Nazarite from the womb. He did not become a Nazarite later. He was a Nazarite even in the womb. A life, a human life, given definition and purpose, so clearly defined that even the mother is to protect that life ceremonially. So there's so many examples. If we go all the way back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 2, we find the source of it all. And what is that? This is what the Lord said. "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground," Genesis 2, verse 7, "and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." God did that. It was God's life in the man. Leviticus 17, verse 11 says, "The life of the flesh is in the blood." And we know that from science. What is the point of blood? It's a transmittal of oxygen. It carries the oxygen. What is present and surrounding and sustaining the embryo of a human life? Oxygen. A baby has its own life carrying blood. Now, sometimes the argument is made in favor of abortion because of birth defects and things like that, saving someone a life of hardship. First of all, it's not uncommon for modern testing about the womb to be wrong. I know people personally who were told one thing about their unborn child, and they were advised to abort that child, but they chose not to, and their child was not seriously impaired or not even at all. We have some examples of that. One of the more known ones in our world is Tim Tebow. Prior to becoming pregnant with Tim, his mother contracted amoebic dysentery and fell into a coma. She discovered she was pregnant while recovering. Because of the medication they used to treat her, the fetus experienced a severe placental abruption. Doctors expected a stillbirth and recommended an abortion. However, the Tebows decided against that, citing their strong faith. And on August 14, 1987, they gave birth to Tim in Manila in the Philippines. And the rest is history. But there's biblical even precedence for this. One of my favorite stories of Jesus' life is in John chapter 9. It says, "As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?' Jesus answered, 'It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him.'" His blindness was part of God's plan for displaying his glory in him. Two of the great influences on my life when I was a child that came to our church to do their ministry were two men. Help me out. I'm losing my mind. It just went blank. Go back one more. There you go. Ken Mita and David Ring. Ken Miedema was a blind from birth piano player that wrote songs on the fly. Somebody would give a testimony at church and he would write a song while they were talking. And then he would share that song and then he would sing a whole concert. He's an amazing guy. And his stories touched my heart. And God used Ken's disability of blindness that he had at birth to bless many people. David Ring, born with cerebral palsy. And it takes a while to be able to understand what he's saying, but once you start to understand what he's saying, his message was so powerful. Nothing wrong with his mind. I saw him years later at First Baptist Atlanta, and he remembered me from childhood. I couldn't believe that with all the hundreds and hundreds of churches he'd been in. And we had a good time together catching up. So people, God uses the life in the womb, even when it's in trouble, even when there's a problem, God uses this. It's all part of the life that he gives. It begins in the womb. Randy Alcorn quotes an example of a medical school professor who told about the following case study and asked students what they would do. Here was the case study. The father had syphilis. The mother had tuberculosis. Of four previous children, the first was blind, the second died, the third was both deaf and dumb, and the fourth had tuberculosis. What would you advise the woman to do when she finds out she is pregnant again? One student answered, "I would advise an abortion." And then the professor said, "Congratulations, you just killed Beethoven." Now, some of you have heard that before, but that's a powerful story. One of the greatest musicians ever to live would have been certainly aborted in our world today. And if children are important to him, to God, he gave them life, then we need to acknowledge that and defend it. And that's what we've been doing and trying to do. And now we have a new way to do it. Death in all of its forms is a result of sin. So let us see that God is about life. And if we are convinced of that, we will naturally come to the right conclusions about how to treat the defenseless among us, whether it's a disabled person, a needy person, an elderly person, or an unborn person. May God help us to do that, because God is about life. Now, we have a unique opportunity to stand in the gap for that life coming up this Saturday. And as your pastors, I stand with the elders on this to encourage us to take all of our desire to see the life of the unborn protected to a new level. And for some of you, you don't know everything about it yet, and so you're kind of like, that sounds really scary. But I'm telling you, I've been there, and there's great comfort in numbers. And when you have a very well-thought-out plan, we can be effective together in a way that, yes, the unusual nature of it is not like something you do every Saturday, but we're calling you to spend 2 hours this Saturday defending life and standing for the unborn in a new and fresh way. So I'm going to ask Pastor Frank Trotta to come and take a few moments just to explain what this is going to look like. We will apply what everything I just said from the Bible. We're going to be able to use it on Saturday as we stand for life. So Frank, come on up and give us we have a short video first to watch before Frank speaks, and then he will share with us briefly.
Everyone can do something. Everyone can do something. It's not right for one pregnancy care center to shoulder the burden. It's not right for one church to shoulder the burden. He's called the body of Christ to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. We need to pray, church. This is a spiritual battle that must be fought with spiritual weapons. I'm going to encourage you to make this part of your daily prayer rhythm. I'm going to challenge you to take a day of the week to pray the fast. Take a meal to pray the fast. This is the greatest moral issue of our time. It deserves our attention. It deserves our prayers. It deserves our focus. It's time for God's people to come out of the closet about what we believe and to take a bold stand for godliness. There was a young girl that was out on the sidewalk that day when that mom came for an abortion. And God used a young girl that said yes to Jesus as she was out there being faithful to King Jesus to turn the heart of that mom around, to begin loving her child and make the choice for life. So I'm speaking to the young generation, I'm speaking to the older generation and everybody in between. Everyone can do something. Acts 17:26 tells us this, that God picked the time and the place in which we would live. You had no say where you were going to be born or the time period in which you were going to be born. God decided that for you. But what you must decide in this moment is how you're going to live in that time and in that place. How are you going to live? How will you be remembered? What story will you tell when you get to heaven and you sit around the marriage supper of the Lamb? What will be your testimony that you will give? We have one life to live, church. Let it be about building His kingdom and not ours.
Amen. Good morning, church. Excuse me. Good morning, church. Good morning. It's exciting to be with all of you. Yes, my name is Frank Trotta. I'm one of the pastors and missionary on the team here at Love Life in South Florida. And just excited to be with all of you today. And let me just begin here. Just wanted to say thank you, Pastor Mark, and to Pastor Zach and the team. Thank you for your boldness. Thank you for the courage to not just lead your people, but to shepherd them and disciple them in the areas that are difficult. And we're just grateful to stand with ministries that not just talk the talk, but they walk the walk as well. So thank you that we get to be a part of what the body is doing here in South Florida. For us, this is significant. For us, this is no small matter. As you've heard eloquently from your pastor this morning, share the truth of how God sees life in the womb. How God looks at these children, how God tells us to rescue those that have been led to the slaughter, to hold back those that are stumbling to their death, the author of Proverbs says. So today, this is the mission of Love Life that I just want to share with you simply and briefly. Love Life exists to unite and mobilize the church, to create a culture of love and life that's going to bring an end, result in an end to the abortion crisis and to the orphan crisis. And the way in which we do that, the way in which Love Life carries this out, and when we say we're a biblical ministry, when we say we're gospel-centered, for us that's not a bumper sticker, that's not a tagline. That's straight from our foundation, and our method of operation is from the scriptures. You all know the story of Nehemiah well, I'm sure. Nehemiah heard about the broken down walls and the burned down gates in his beloved Jerusalem. He went to God and prayed about, what can I do about this? Then he went to the king and said, I want to go see it. And then he went and did something about it. He heard, he prayed, he went and did something. That very foundation is the method in which we mobilize the body of Christ in not just South Florida, but as you heard on the video, in 14 cities around the country to be able to engage the darkness with the presence of the gospel. This is how Love Life ministers and serves moms and dads and families that are broken and that are hurting and that are needy in our community. That's the way in which we do it. And the reason is simple is why. We do this because God loves life. As again, you heard from your pastor today. So this tragic truth that exists in our city and exists in our country, this is the reason why that we stand behind and walk with and come together with the local church. That as you've heard, in Broward County alone, the truth is that the leading cause of death is not cancer or heart disease or car accidents or anything like that. The leading cause of death is abortion. 10,771 babies were aborted last year in Broward County alone. If you're doing the math, 190 to 200 per week. And the reality is that one in four adults, that's 25%, have had experience with abortion in some way. So maybe you've had one, or you've paid for one, or you've driven someone to the clinic, or it's been someone in your family. So we know that with numbers like that and in congregations like this, this is not just an issue or a difficulty or a struggle outside the church. This is an issue and a difficulty and a struggle within the church. And Love Life's language is we believe, as the scriptures say, that abortion is not the unforgivable sin. It is not. There's hope, and there's help, and there's healing, and his name is Jesus. So as we love on and minister to the moms and dads that are in the midst of making this difficult decision, as we love them and care for them and show them the options that they have, we love and minister to the moms and dads that have already walked through this decision as well. So we have a Restored Life Bible study that also is part of the Love Life ministry, where it's led by a post-abortive mom that works with and ministers to moms and dads that have walked through this and have been holding on to that difficulty and that struggle for many, many years. And we have seen beautiful fruit that God has done through this ministry. So, for example, we celebrate together in our city. We have seen now over 50 churches. This church is part of 50 churches in South Florida that have now partnered with Love Life to take a stand for the gospel truth in our city, to be the presence of Christ in the world. And not only that, we can also say that 74 babies in the last year and a half, 74 image bearers of God, God has saved through the work at Love Life at two different clinics. And that's something to celebrate, those lives. And yes, amen, praise God. And we have now seen in Broward County over 4,300 people just like yourselves join us on these prayer walks that we do every Saturday, 40 Saturdays in a row. We bring a different church to come and do three things and three things only. As you saw in the video, this is not a protest, brothers and sisters. This is not a march. This is not a picket of any kind. We do three things and three things only. We pray, we walk, and we sing. This is how we can be the body of Christ in the world. This is how we can show this is what it looks like to love your neighbor This is what it looks like to be the hands and feet of Jesus in some of the most difficult places in our city. So we call the church to be the church in the world. And together we get to do that. And my friends, as you'll see when you go, and your pastor has been out there, and many have been out there. There's some in the church that have been there as well. As you see when you go, this is the work that only the church can do. No one else is coming. And quite frankly, this is the work that only the church can do, as you have the message of hope. You have the only message that changes hearts and saves lives. It is the message of Christ. It is the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the gospel that we have to share with men and women and families that need to hear it the most. So what we're asking is very simply for the people in the church to come help the people in the womb. This, as we've seen, churches rise up. We've seen the darkness push back. We've seen people not only get saved and grow and learn, but we've seen now men and women be fruitful and in their lives and grow in their faith. Because what Love Life does is, and this is something that you may not have heard, this is really what distinguishes us in a lot of ways from some of the other great organizations in our community that are serving moms and dads and families. So we work alongside Hope Women's Center in Broward. We work alongside Heartbeat of Miami in Dade County this very way. What we do serving these moms and dads is sharing with them that every mom that chooses life with Love Life, we commit to walk with them for 2 years. That's 2 years, 9 months through the pregnancy, and then an additional year. And what that looks like is before the baby's born, we throw them a baby shower. Then after that, we provide them with mentors or resources that they may need. We set them up with mentors, and mentors come from the church. And then we get them the resources they need. If they need all the resources for pregnancy, we take them to the pregnancy center. We drive them there. We drop them off. We Uber them there. We follow them there. Whatever it takes to get these moms and dads the resources they desperately need. And then we plug them into the local church. This is why the church is such a key component. The church is the power behind all of this. So we bring these moms and dads to the local church. We want them to stop running to the abortion center for their hope and their help. And we want them to run to the local church, the great local church like this church, for their hope and for their help. So this Saturday together, as Pastor said, this is your adoption week where you've heard from your pastor, from the scriptures, what God says about life, how God sees life. And this week we would ask that the church would pray, and many can fast over this issue in their city. And then on Saturday, you're invited to come to the mission field. This is a missions trip in your city. For an hour and a half to 2 hours this Saturday, we will all join arms together. We will walk and pray and sing for the glory of God and for the presence of Christ in the world. We will be a peaceful, prayerful presence in the world, showing this is what it looks like to love your neighbors. Your pastors will be there. Your worship team will be out there with us as well. And together, we will show the world this is how we love you. This is who Christ is, and this is why we're here. So this Saturday, we invite you to do that very thing with us. And again, you are now part of a family of churches in South Florida, in Broward, that have done this throughout the year. 51 churches in total now, and we are excited about what God is doing and how he's shifting the culture from death to life, how we are standing for what God stands for. See, we believe what God says. We believe how God sees life, and we're there because we love them. And we're there because there is a choice, and there is hope, and his name is Jesus. So we ask the church to join us this Saturday at 9 o'clock. And actually, you'll have on your seats, you'll see that you've gotten one of these. So there's a very simple way to register for the prayer walk. You can scan that with your phone, that QR code that's there. And in 30 seconds, you'll fill out a quick form that'll give you all of the details, the address and so forth, and the things that you'll need for this Saturday at 9 o'clock. Afterwards, also, we'll be outside at a table. Any one of our team missionaries will be able to help you register for that prayer walk. But this, my friends, this is an exciting time to be the church in the world. This is an exciting time to stand and say, yes, there is hope, there is help, there is love for you, and this is how we show the world what it looks like. We have seen thousands of people now walk and see that this is a way that we can be a peaceful, prayerful presence of Christ in the world. So we encourage you, we thank you, we challenge you to come and be the people of the church that help the people in the womb. So you'll be able to see that on the QR code here on your seats that you've got in front of you. You can scan that easily, or you can come see us at the table as well. Before I go, I want to share with you this one last thing. There's a short video of one of the first moms that chose life with Love Life. So as we see this help from womb to tomb, as we see not just saving the life of the baby, as critical as that is, but as we see all of the help that the church can be for the moms and dads in cities. We see the lives change. We see families begin to thrive. And this is the story of Sarah. Just a short video to show you one of the first moms that chose life with Love Life and how this has been an impact for her and her family. So if you would, just take a moment to take a look at the screen for Sarah's story.
So Sarah, how are you feeling?
I'm very excited. I know that the gap is, he knows, but the baby's here. The due date is January 1st.
You know, I'll be honest with you for just a moment. I've seen that video so many times. And this is 40 Saturdays in a row. So for 40 Sundays in a row, I've been in a different church. And I feel the weight of seeing what the church does. And I've seen the beauty of experiencing what the body of Christ can do when we live and act in a way that God has called us to. And that's just a small snip of a picture of so many families that have seen their lives drastically altered by the gospel. What a beautiful thing it is that we get to do as the body of Christ. What an incredibly beautiful thing it is that we've been called, we've been encouraged, and now you're being equipped by your pastor. He's equipping the people with the ministry to do the ministry of the word in the world. What a beautiful thing it is that we get the opportunity to influence people and show them who Jesus is by loving them in a way that says, man, we care about you. And this is proof of it. And Sarah is just one small story. So I just want to take this moment and say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be with you today. Thank you for allowing us to worship with you today. Thank you for allowing us to share the message of this gospel work in our city. So, Pastor, we are grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Because we kind of had a little more of an introduction last time that you were here, we've kind of gotten to know Frank and now Nuria. Nuria's been coming to our ladies' Bible study, and we're excited about that. And just this is a kind of growing friendship that's happening here. But Frank, I wanted you to tell everybody real quick, what does it look like on Saturday? If they come on Saturday, how does it... Just give us a flow, a real quick flow of how the morning goes.
Sure, excellent. So we have it's a really well-organized, well-orchestrated event. So you've got parking that's situated for you. You've got signs that send you to parking. There's a church right next door to where we meet and where we gather, so all of the parking's there. When you come into the area that we gather, we have a stage set up. We have a connections tent that's ready to receive you. So for whoever doesn't register here today, you can also register there as well. We'll have our T-shirts available for a donation of any amount. They're available for you all there at the connections tent. And once you arrive, we begin with worship. So we have a moment of worship on the stage. We have a moment where the pastor will pray with us and share some things there. We'll have a code of conduct that we read that's really significant to Love Life. We read this code of conduct so everybody understands the role of the church today is this. We don't reach out to anyone. We don't call out to any moms. We don't reach out to any people there. We don't even interact with our sidewalk missionaries that are doing their job there. That's not the role of the church that day. The role of the church is to walk, sing, and pray. So we will be pretty strict about that, and everybody is asked to adhere to that. And so far we've seen 40 weeks last year, and you know, we're in week number 37 this year. So 40 and 37, in all of those weeks there has not been a single incident, so that's God's grace certainly. So yeah, that's what we'll do at the front end, and then we'll read that code of conduct, we'll line up on the sidewalk, we hire Plantation Police Department, we pay for that, they shut down the intersection for us, they get us across the street safely. It's a kind of a busy intersection, we have strollers and parents that go. We arrive at the clinic. We'll be at the clinic in front of the center for approximately 30 minutes or so, where we're going to pray through four prayer points. We're going to sing one worship song that your worship team will lead in. We'll pray for the abortionists and the abortion workers. We'll pray for the babies. We'll pray for the moms and dads. And then we will pray for the church in our city. And then when we're done there, we'll turn around and go back the same way we came. And we'll finish with a word of testimony and a short presentation at the end to connect. And then we'll be done.
So we can bring children.
Absolutely.
So any age, strollers, mm-hmm. bring your kids. That's good.
Yeah.
And the ministry is presence, is what you're saying. Prayer, presence. Yeah. So some of you may have thought, well, I wouldn't know what to say. You don't have to. And that may seem like, well, what then? Why are we going? Well, can you imagine if there's a big group of people standing out there? That affects the people that come in there to work. That affects the people that drive by. It affects the women. And men that are coming there, and that is a forever impression on their hearts and minds. Yeah. Tell us about what happened yesterday at the clinic.
Oh, absolutely. And let me just remind you along the lines of what Pastor said. I mean, Oswald Chambers said, prayer is not the least you can do.
That's right. We remind
this often. Prayer is the most you can do. So as we go there, we're not just going to check the box off and say, we did an event. No, you're going on a missions trip in your city to do the most you can do, to call upon the hand of God to move in the hearts and minds of men and women that need to hear from him. That's a big deal. It's a big deal to God. It's a big deal to us. Yesterday, in fact, what we had, so again, 40 Saturdays in a row, yesterday we had two churches that were there. And while they were there, unbeknownst to us, because this is activity that's taking place between the sidewalk missionaries and the people driving in and driving out of the clinic, there was one baby that was saved. Mm-hmm. While the church was there. So this is not just exciting from the standpoint that we see that, but this is life change. Roe has been overturned, and for the babies that have been saved, Roe was already overturned. This is exciting because that changes the destiny of that family. There are moms and dads attached to these babies, aunts and uncles, grandparents. Destinies have been altered because of the saving of one child. So that's exciting to see. That happened just yesterday. So we see this going on because the church is present. The statistical fact across the board at every city Love Life is in is when the church is present, abortions go down. That is just the fact of the matter.
That's awesome. So we will go. We'll meet there at 9. We'll get organized. Mm-hmm. We'll sing some songs. Grace and some others will be leading us in some songs.
So excited about
we will be meeting with Gospel Life Church, our daughter church that we started 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. They are bringing a group of people as well. And I believe it's just the two of us,
yes,
the two churches.
Right.
So it'll be people that you know already there. Mm-hmm. And the emphasis this morning, we're bringing this to a close. It really does come down to a decision. We really would love for you to be there. We're not going to be taking attendance or anything like that. We're just calling out for you to do that. And some of you don't have no idea what a QR code is. So here's how we're going to help you with that. I've asked some of the young adults to stand here at the front with their phones, and they're going to help you with this QR thing, okay? Your phone may not know how to do it. Theirs will, and they will help you. You can fill out the form real quick. You have to do that. Now, you can come if you don't, but please do it ahead of time so we kind of know who's coming and come prepared. It'd be really great for you to have already got that worked out. It's going to be a great morning. It's not long. Start to finish is 2 hours and 30 minutes in front of this clinic. You're going to be on the front lines of this whole issue. This is where it happens. And whatever fear you may have, God will give you the grace to overcome that. You will be with brothers and sisters. I will be there. Other of the brothers are going to be there. So we encourage you to come. Take advantage of it. if you get signed up before you even leave this building today, it'll be that much easier for you to connect. So let me pray. We're going to sing a song of response to everything we've heard right now that's so appropriate. So let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing, not only on our Saturday, but on this team. Let's really be praying for this team. These guys are out there every week. This is not just Saturday for them. Jojo and Carlos and others are out there every day from the whole time the clinic is open, right?
Yes, sir.
Monday through Saturday, they are there. That's amazing. Lord, we need your help. Thank you for Frank and Nuria, Carlos and Jojo, and the other team here for South Florida Love Life. Thank you for the vision you gave a young couple in North Carolina who answered the call to mobilize the church, and now thousands of people are involved. Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage and the conscience to engage this Saturday. I pray that you would bring a majority of us out there, and that when we're all done, we'll have a better picture of how to pray and what to do and maybe even get involved in some other ways. Lord, I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Thank you for the church, Lord, that loves you and follows you and the leaders that you've given us. Lord, this is something we believe we should do, so we're asking you to bless the effort and bless Love Life and all of this team, Lord, day in and day out as they see this, as they deal with this. I pray that you'd give more and more people that say yes to the literature, say yes to the conversation, that turn away, get back in their cars, and drive over to Hope or whatever they need to do. We pray for the salvation of souls, that men and women would come to know Jesus and families would be restored. And like the family last year, right here in this county that were engaged on a Saturday or whatever the day was, who are now married, and now they have a child and another child. And thank you for what you're doing in that family. Please repeat it over and over again. You are the God of life. Thank you for the life you've given us. Thank you for physical life. Thank you for eternal life that we receive in Jesus' name. Amen.